Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Nun Aleph. We left off on daf Nun Amud Beis. We are 5 lines from the end of the page on Nun Amud Beis at the 2 dots at Bnei Baishan. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored the Ilui Nishmas, Rabbi Kelmer Zecher Tzadik Levracha, by a lifelong Talmud. It's also sponsored by the outdoor minyan in Woodmere, known as the Church Avenue Minyan of the Zechus Rufo Shlema, for our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Rafael Benito, is currently in the ICU fighting COVID, Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Ventova Rosa, who's also in the ICU, and for Shlema Fega Peril Bastavar Rivka. Today's year is also sponsored by Mark Staum in commemoration of his father's yard site, Shimon Ben Avram Yosef Halevi Zichron Levracha, whose yard site is Tuesday. The Neshama Shev and Aliyah, we thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the daf is going to begin with a discussion of whether it's permissible to be makel on something that is totally mutter, but the local minug is to be machmir. So Rav Chista is going to suggest that it's only problematic to do that when you're dealing with kutum, when you're dealing with totally uneducated people, and they're not going to understand why it is that some things are people are being makel with when everyone else is being machmir, and they may come to be makel with things that are in fact usher. So the Gemara tries to disprove this possibility from 3 different cases in a Braisa, where apparently even with non-kutum we have such a halacha. Then we're told that Rabbi Bar Chana maintained certain kulas of Eretz Yisrael even after coming to Bavel, and the Gemara is going to give 2 explanations why he was allowed to do that if you have to take on the chumras of the place that you go to. And even though he was allowed to eat certain things that he ate while he was in Eretz Yisrael, his son who grew up in Bavel and only saw these kulas from him but didn't see them from anyone else was more restricted. And then toward the end of the daf, the Gemara tries to reconcile the halacha that when a person travels from one place to another place, you always are more machmir. You take on the chumras of the place that you went from, the place that you go to, yet there's another halacha that a person should aishan adam mibnei machlokas, that a person should always conform to what's being done in the location where he is, because he doesn't want to create machlokas. How do you reconcile those 2 halachos? What if not doing malacha is going to be different than everybody else? So it's a chumra of the place that you came from, but it's going to be different than everybody else in the place that you are right now. How is that not being mishana mipnei machlokes? So that's going to be the last discussion on the daf. So let's begin again, 5 lines from the bottom of the page on daf Nun Amud Beis at the 2 dots. So there is a braisa in Shabbos and daf Yotes that tells us that a person is not supposed to go on a boat trip within 3 days before Shabbos, but there are certain places that are so close to each other, you take the Staten Island ferry or something, so that's not considered to be a violation of that halacha. It's so close, it's a very small trip. So Bnei Baishan Nogdov Azin Mitzur Tzidon Bebali Shabbata. The Bnei Baishan had a chumrah that they wouldn't even go on a very short trip on Erev Shabbos from Tzur to Tzidon, even though it was the Yom HaShuk in Tzidon, and it was a very profitable day. But they took this chumrah that they wouldn't travel even such a short distance. So also Benayu Kamei to Rabbi Yochanan. So their children came to Rabbi Yochanan, Amrulo Avhasin Efshalu, and they said, "Look, our fathers, they were able to withstand the taiva to go and do business on this day that we're going to make so much money. Anan lo Efshalan, but we don't have that. We don't have the ability to withstand such a yetzer hara." Amrulahu, so he told them, "Kvar kiblu avosechem aleihem. Your forefathers have already." Did I skip something? Is it? I was supposed to start earlier. Okay, so let's get to the end of the sentence and then we'll go back, okay? So, Amluk Var Kibla Vasechem Aleim Shenemer Shemabini Musav Richa Valtitosh Torah Simecha. That if your avos were Makabal, such a halacha, such a practice, then you have to continue that practice because Altitosh Torah Simecha, you have to do what your family practice has always been. Now let's go back to the part that I skipped. Apparently I started a little too late. So, Tan Rabban, a few lines before that. Tan Rabban, Kose Svarim Tzvilin and Muzuzos. People who write Svarim Tzvilin and Muzuzos, Hain, Vitigrayan, the merchants of the, not only the Sofrim, but the merchants as well, Vitigray Tigrayan, not only the wholesalers, but the retailers, Vikala Oskin B'Melech Shemayim, and anyone who is engaged in Melech Shemayim, Lasuye Mochre Tcheles, which includes people who sell Tcheles for Tzitzis, Einon Rowan Simon Bracha Liolam, are never going to see a Simon Bracha. Why are they never going to see a Simon Bracha? Because that's what we said yesterday, that the Anshe Knesset Gedolah were Mekabel 24 Tainios, that they shouldn't see a Simon Bracha, so that they'll always be motivated motivated to want to produce more and to want to work more so that they'll be able to put food on the table. V'moskin l'shma, but if they're osik totally l'shma, then rowan, meaning let's say someone is has a side gig, meaning really he has his money, he has his money from whatever other job, but he's just obsessed with tcheles or with tzitzis or with tefillin or whatever, so then he's doing it totally l'shma, there's no concern. If he's doing something totally l'shma, there's no concern that he's going to produce less just because he has enough money, he has enough food to put on the table. Okay, so now skipping back ahead to where we were. So Bnei Chozoy in Agi Demarfi Shechala Me'arosa, that even though we learned back on Daf Lamed Hey that there are Chameshos Minei Dagan from which you can make matzah and from which chametz can come and from which there's a chiv of Afrashas Chala, and we said that among those Chameshos Aminim are not Orez V'dochen, that rice and millet are not the Chameshos Minei Dagan. They had such a practice that the Bnei Chozoy used to be mafresh challah from a rice bread. So also Rav Amalei to Rav Yosef, they told Rav Yosef about that minhag. Amalu nechla zarba apayu. A non-kohen should eat that challah in front of them to demonstrate that that's not challah. Meaning challah is only allowed to be eaten by a kohen. Challah the Torah refers to as truma, so that can only be eaten by a kohen. But a zar should eat it because this is not challah. So Abayi asks Rav Yosef, dvarma mutarma achirim nagu ban iser. This is an example of that which is mutter, but people are knowing yisr, and the halacha is yatarashi latirim b'fneim. You're not allowed to be matir something that people are knowing yisr on in front of them. So how could you be matir this chala that comes from orez? So amalav alav miyitmar alav amravchista bikutai. No, that's only when it comes to kutim. You can't be matir in front of them that which they're knowing yisr. But the bnei chuzay are not kutim, so you could be matir in front of them. So kutai my taima. What's the svara? Why by kutim can you not be knowing heter but with that which they are knowing yisr? Mishum demasruchi milsa, because if you're matir in front of them, they're going to go and be makel on other things as well. Hanachin shinami sarchi milsa. Well, these bnei chozoi, we have the same concern. The Gemara asks back on Rav Yosef. You're going to tell me that it's only by that the zar should eat this challah from orez because these aren't kutim. It's not magic that when you're a kuti, all of a sudden we have to be knowing chumrah. There's a reason why we're concerned by kutim, and that same concern exists by the Bnei Chozai, and therefore we should not be allowed to be makel in front of them. Ella Abba Ravashi, so rather Ravashi explains, E Ruban Orazachli Lo Nichlazar Bapayu. If the main bread that people eat is rice bread in that location by the Bnei Chozai, then a zar should not eat it in front of them. Dilma Mishtachla Torah Chalaminayu, because if that's the bread that they eat, and no one's ever mafresh challah, even though you're right, it's not chayven afreshes challah, they're going to forget the concept of hafreshes challah. So you understand that there would be such a din or such a minag that they would accept in order to just keep a zecher to the idea of hafreshes challah. Similar to what the Gemara talks about in Maseches Sukkah, that if there are no esrogim available, that maybe another fruit as a zecher ledavar to remember that there used to be such a thing called an esrog. V'ruban dagana achli, but if most of them eat normal dagan, nechla zar b'apayu, then the zar is allowed to eat the challah from the orez in front of them. Dilmasi lafrushim in a chiv al potter min a potter al chiv, because if they're eating dagan and they're eating rice bread, they're going to be under the impression that rice bread is also chayv and challah, they're going to be mafresh challah from a rice dough to cover their grain dough, and that's no good because the grain is actually chayv in challah. Gufa dvarma mutar me'achir nagu ben nisri yatarashi latirim b'fnein amar rav chista b'kutai yaskinan. So we had mentioned that there's a special din by kutim that you have to be very careful not to be matir that which they are knowing iser in. So says Mar of Kuli al Malo, really it's only such a din by kutim. Vatanya, but I'll bring you a brisa that tells us about three different practices that people had that they were knowing heter, that they were careful not to be knowing heter, even though it was not kutim. Rochtz and Shneach and Keachad, two brothers are allowed to bathe together in the Beis Hamerchatz, and it's not an Isra of Pritzus. So now in the even though there are Arum in the Beis Hamerchatz, so Ve'in Rochtz and Shneach and B'Kavul, but in the place called Kavul, they had a minhag that two brothers don't bathe together. U'maisav Yudavil Abonim Shalom Gamliel Shrochtz V'Shneim Keachad B'Kavul, and one time Yehuda and Hillel, the children of Gamliel, were bathing together in the town of Kavul. V'Laz Alein Kala Medina, they were unfamiliar, I guess, with the practice that was not done in Kavul, and everyone started being motzi laz on them. Amru me'menu l'ariinu kach, and they said that we never seen such a thing. Two brothers are going to bathe together. V'nishmat Hillel v'yatzal b'ayis achitzon. So Hillel right away conformed to the minhag. He got out of there. He left the Beis HaMerchatz. And he did not say, nah, it's mutter. You guys know what you're talking about, that there's no Isser Bedavar. No, he conformed with the minhag. And not only that, another Braisa, Yotzim Bekor Dekison B'Shabbos, a person is allowed to go out on Shabbos wearing these very wide shoes. Vein Yotzim Bekor Dekison B'Shabbos B'Biri. But in Biri, they had a practice that they wouldn't wear these wide shoes because the concern that they would fall off and you'd come to carry them. Same too. Yehuda and Hillel, the sons of Rabbi Gamliel, Shiyatzim Bekor Kedison B'Shabbos B'Biri. I guess their father had to travel a lot, so they went whenever he was scholar in residence somewhere, they went with him, and they saw all these strange practices. So they were just doing what they always did. They wore these fancy shoes. V'laza aleinu medina, and the everyone was mocking them. V'amru miyameinu larinu kach. We never saw such a thing that people wear such shoes on Shabbos. So shmatum. So Yehuda and Hillel took them off. V'nasum lavdeim, and instead gave them to their avadim. V'laratz lomelan mutar natem. But they did not tell them that it's mutter. And a third example, a third brayse. V'yeshna safsli nachrim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to sit on the benches that goyim sell their schora on Shabbos, and we're not choshes. So people are going to say that you're engaged in commerce on Shabbos. But in Akko, they had such a practice that they would not sit on the safsle nachrim. Once was sitting on the safsle nachrim in Akko, v'laza of kala medina, and the whole medina was mocking him. So they said, we never saw such a thing that someone could sit on the benches on which the goyim do commerce. So nishmat al gabei karkav lo ratzalom len mutar natem. So Rav Shimon Gamliel right away got off the bench and he sat on the ground and he didn't want to tell them that it was mutar. So you see that in all three of these situations, even people who are not kutim, that are knowing iser on something that is in fact mutar, you're not allowed to be mati b'rifneim. And that's why they were not mati b'rifneim. As soon as they found out that these people are knowing iser, they immediately conformed. But these are not kutim. I thought it's only by kutim that you have to conform, because the kutim are going to get confused. Says the Gemara, "B'nei Medina Nami, Kivin Lo Shchich Rabban Gabayu Ki Kutim Damu." That it's not about being kutim per se; it's about people who are uneducated and therefore are going to draw conclusions from your behavior. So the B'nei Medina, they don't live among Talmidei Chachamim, and therefore it's not a makom Torah; it's not a place where they learn a lot. And if you know you can't turn in front of them, they're going to come to be matir things that are in fact usher as well. So says the Gemara, what are these three chumras, though? What are they about? Why would you not sit on a bench? Why would you not wear wide shoes? Why would you not bathe with a brother? So bishlam safslei nachrim mishum demeksi kameka kamekar omemkar. I get the part about safslei nachrim, the last one that we said, because that's that looks like mekka chumemkar. Looks like you're doing schora on Shabbos. Bekordikiso nami, and they also get the idea about the wide shoes. Dilma mishtalf and vasi lasini arbaamus brishusram, that we're afraid that they might fall off, and you're going to come to carry them dalad amos for shesram el rochts in my time alone. But what would be the minug? What's based? What is that minug based on? Not to bathe together with your brother. So says Mark Kedetanya, we have such a brisa. Imakol adam rochets chutz me aviv. A person is allowed to bathe with anyone except for his father, because apparently Rashi says it's going to cause hirhur avera, because he's going to see the makom shemisham yatsa from where he originates, and that's going to cause hirhur avera v'chamiv, and he's not allowed to bathe with his father-in-law either, because he's going to see the place from where his wife has emerged, and it's going to lead to hira avera. Ubal imo, and his mother's husband, ubal achoso, his sister's husband, also a concern of hira avera. Rabbi the matir ba aviv mipnei kavod aviv. But Rabbi Yehuda says, for the covet of your father, you're allowed to bathe together with your father. Vuadin lebal imo, and also you can bathe with your mother's husband, if he needs the help, and he needs an aid to be with him for the kavod. So that's the halacha. But the asa in who the bnei kavod came along with gozer b'shnei achin mishum balachoso, and they made a gzeira that not only are you not allowed to bathe with your sister's husband, even with your own brother. If you're not allowed to bathe with your brother-in-law, you're not allowed to bathe with your brother either. That was their gzeira. So tana tamalo yirchatzim rabo v'im rabo tzarech lo mutter. The braisa taught us that in addition to your father and your stepfather, where we said this idea that you're not allowed to bathe with him, but mipnei kvodo, you're allowed to. So the same is true with Rabbo. The same is true with one's Rebbe. Rav Osner has a tshuva in Chelches Simin Ayin Reish Beis in Shevet Alevi, where he explains that the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about when they talk about whether there's such a heter for kvod aviv or for kavod of your stepfather, what the reason for the Yisrael Chitza im aviv is. That the Tanakama holds that the reason is a chashash hirhur, like Rashi says, and therefore you can't be matarit even b'makom sha'aviv tzarech lo, because it's still going to be a chashash hirhur. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that the reason is it's a lack of kavod and yira, that there's supposed to be a certain sense of mora, that you shouldn't, barriers shouldn't be broken down. Yeah, but if he needs your help and he's unable to take care of himself, so then you have to break down those barriers. That would be the more dominant concern if he needs the help when it comes to the bathing. You have a similar tshuva with relation to one's father and father-in-law and Rebbe in the tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Dalet Siman Samach Beis. He takes for granted that everyone does this, that people go to the mikveh and they don't care who's at the mikveh at the time. They go when the father's at the mikveh, the father-in-law's at the mikveh, it doesn't matter. So how can people do this? How can you go to the mikveh when you have these relatives there? What's the basis for heter? So he says that when it comes to the Beis HaMerchatz with one's Rebbe, there are shnei isurim. Number one, there's nisra on the Talmud because of kavod Rav. And he says, number two, there's nisra on the Rav, which is not to be noe kalos rosh in front of his Talmidim, not to engage in schok v'kalos rosh in front of the Talmidim, not to be ochel v'shos imam, because he needs to be matil ema aleihem. And that's halacha in Yerodea Simin Reish Mem Vav, based on the Gemara Mesechus Ksubas. So as far as the isra that's on the Talmud, so when it's Rabbo Tzarechlo, for sure there's not going to be an isra, because the Rav is going to be mochel al kavodo for that sake, and Rav shemochel al kavodo, kavodo mochel. But as far as the isra on the Rav, that doesn't help, because the Gemara Mesech Shabbos tells us that there's no isra for the Rav to be mochel on the Talmud, but it must be that there's some other heter as well for the Rebbe. That's as far as the way the Talmud acts toward the Rebbe. Whatever is Letzorech HaRav, though, maybe is not considered included in that Isser. Maybe you would say, though, that Zehu Kvodo, whatever Malacha, Nevet is also the Rabbo, a Talmud is also the Rabbo, so that becomes part of the Kavod. But anyway, Minchas Yitzchak explains that's why the Rambam has this in two different places. In Hilchos Talmud Torah, he says that the Talmud shouldn't go together with his Rebbe into the Beis HaMerchatz, and he doesn't mention any sort of heter. And Hilchos Yisurabiyah, he says, a person should not go with his Talmidim to the Merchatz, but if it's Tzarech LeTalmido, then it's Mutter. So the Kesef Mishnah says, why doesn't the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah asks, why doesn't the Rambam mention the heter of the when the Rebbe needs the Talmud in Hilchos Talmud Torah? He only mentions that in Hilchos Yisurabiyah. So says in Minchas Yitzchak that the Rambam was distinguishing between the two dinim. In Hilchos Talmud Torah, he was writing the Yisra of the Talmud to go together with the Rebbe. And that, you don't have to say, but Makom Shor Rabbo Tzarech Lo, that it's going to be Mutter, because that's pashut, that there's not going to be an Isser. Rav Shemachal Kvodo, Kvodo Machal, that's part of the general din of Rav Shemachal Kvodo. But in Hilchos Yisurabiyah, the Rambam was talking about the Isser on the Rav, that it's also for him to be nichnas with the Talmud to the Merchatz. And that's where the Rambam has to be mechadish, that this is beyond the regular din of Rav Shemachal Kvodo, that there's this special heter, that Kesher Rabbo Tzarech Lo, that it's mutter. So either way, it's going to be mutter, but one is just part of a broader din of Rav Shemachal Kvodo, Kvodo Machal, and one is more unique to this particular situation. That's how Minchas Yitzchak breaks down this halacha. Okay, so now the Gemara moves on to tell us again about minhag of one place when someone is in another place, but a little bit of background over here is necessary. There is an issue in the Torah that one is not allowed to eat chelev. The chelev of the kosher animals that is brought on the Mizbeach, that's burnt on the Mizbeach, on any animal, there's an issur kares to eat that chelev. The question, though, is which fats are in fact included in chelev. So there are certain fats around the keva that are subject to some debate. That not all chelev that's on the keva is machlokas tanaim. The chelev hayeser, the chelev there's a part of the keva that's shaped like a bow, and there's a chelev on each side of it. So the chelev that's on the outer side of it is called the akshasa, the chelev hakeshes, and that's that chelev is also about chelev for sure. That's the chelev asher ala kerev. But then there's chelev on the inner side of it that's called the ayatra, the chelev hayaser, and that's a machlokas Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether that's considered chelev or not, whether you're allowed to eat that or not. So in Eretz Yisrael, they had a different minhag than they had in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, they held like Rabbi Akiva that the chelif hayeser is mutter, and in Bavel, they held like Rabbi Shmuel that the chelif hayeser is aser. So now, against that background, when Rabbi Bar Chana came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he continued to eat the chelif hayeser, which in Bavel they held as aser to do. So all the gabei Rav Avira Saber Rav Reid Rav Huna. So some of the local Talmidei Chacham came to visit him. Given the Chazinu Kasya Minayu, when he saw Talmidei Chacham from Bavel coming to visit him, he quickly covered up the chalev that he was eating. So they went and they told Abayi what he was doing, because they caught him. They saw that he was doing it. So Abayi said to them, Shavinchu Kukutai, he acted toward you like you're a bunch of kutim, because the Bais had said that Dvarim Amutarim, that Archerim Arnagu Ben Isser, you're not allowed to be matir b'fneim. But Ruchu said that's only if they're kutim. So here's something that he held as mutter, but Acherim are no egisser, and he refused to be matir in front of you. He covered it up because he holds that you're like kutim. Rabbi Bechana, lesay al detnan. So I asked the Gemara, but wait a second, forget about the fact that he treated them like kutim. How is he allowed to do that? How is he allowed to eat it? Doesn't he hold what the Mishnah says? That isn't that when our Mishnah said that you have to take upon yourselves the chumrah of the place that you came from and the chumrah of the place that you're going to? So since he went to Bavel and they're knowing not to eat it, he should have been knowing like the minigan Bavel, and he should not have eaten it. So answers the Gemara, Am Rabbi Hani Mili mi Bavel le Bavel ume Eretz Yisrael le Eretz Yisrael. This idea that you take on the chumras of the place that you came from and the place that you're going to, that's only if you're traveling within Bavel or within Eretz Yisrael. Inami mi Bavel Eretz Yisrael, or you're traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So certainly you're going to want to conform to the minhag in Eretz Yisrael, and that's what we say al yishanim b'nei machlokas. You have to conform to the minhagim of the place that you're going to. Aval may Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, but if you're traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, lo kivan danan kaifin lu. Everyone knows that the Talmidei Chacham in Bavel are totally kafuf to the Talmidei Chacham in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have an Eretz Yisrael to minhag that you want to bring with you to Bavel, you're allowed to bring that minhag with you, even though it's against the minhag in Bavel. So avdin kavasayu. So the bnei Eretz Yisrael who come to Bavel are knowing like their minhag in Eretz Yisrael. There's no chashash that it's going to be maybe the day machlokas, and they don't have to alter their minhag at all. They don't have to change their minhag at all. That's when it comes to traveling from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Now Tosus points out over here that we use this phrase avdinon kavasayu. We do like them. So what it really means is that only the bnei Eretz Yisrael that come to Bavel are knowing like the minhag Eretz Yisrael, and not the bnei Bavel. And it should have said avdi kavasayu. All right, the bnei Eretz Yisrael do like their own minhag. They do their minhag. Avdinon kavasayu sounds like we do their minhag, but that's not really true. The bnei Bavel are not allowed to observe the minhag of the bnei Eretz Yisrael just because a few bnei Eretz Yisrael showed up to Bavel. So it should have been avdi kavasayu. So Tosfos points out that there is a Gemara in Chulin and Daf Yud Ches and Beis where it says the phrase avdinon kavasayu in the case of bnei Bavel that are ola le Eretz Yisrael, where they take upon themselves the practices of bnei Eretz Yisrael. So we just use that same phrase avdinon kavasayu, even though in this context it doesn't really make perfect sense. But that's the idea that the bnei Eretz Yisrael. Now, why is it true that the bnei Bavel were kafuf to the bnei Eretz Yisrael? So this probably relates to the inyan of smicha, that in Eretz Yisrael they had smicha, they were able to get smicha from Ishbi Piyish, from Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore they had the right to be dan dine knasos, but that only exists in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laaretz you can't give smicha. So the Dayane Eretz Yisrael had certain kochos, had certain powers in that the Dayane Bavel didn't have, and therefore the Dayane Bavel were kafuf to the Dayane Eretz Yisrael. So now the Gemara brings another answer. How was Rabbi Bar Chana allowed to do this? After all, what happened to the idea of taking upon yourselves the chumrei amakum shalach l'sham? So again, answer number one was, he came from Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have to take upon himself the chumras of Bavel. He comes from a place of higher stature. Answer number two, Rav Ashi amar afilu teim Eretz Yisrael Bavel. It could be that even when you come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, you're not allowed to be mishana from the minhag amakum. You have to conform to the minhag amakum. But hani mili when do you have to conform to the minhag of makom echad dein daito lachzar? That's if you never plan on going back. V'rabba Rabbi Chana daito lachzar av. V'rabba Rabbi Chana, his entire plan the whole time was to go back. The Gemara in Chulin Yurchasim Beis tells us that Rav Ashi says that when we say that he takes on the chumri makom sheyatza misham, that's only if he's daito lachzar. Meaning the fact that you have to take the chumras of the place that you came from, that's only if you do plan on going back. But if it's ain't daito lachzar, then you don't have to. Then you could, when you move, you just follow the minhag makom that you move to. So it turns out when you put these two gemaras together, that's a little bit difficult, because when the Mishnah says that someone is holich makom lemakom, he takes the chumri makom sheyatz misham and the chumri makom shahalach l'sham. It's not really true. There's no case where you're going to take upon the chumras of where you came from and the chumras of where you went to, because it's two separate circumstances. The idea of taking upon yourself the chumri makom sheyatz misham is only if daito lachzar. The idea of taking upon yourself the chumri makom shahalach l'sham is only if ain't daito lachzar. So there would be no case where there's overlap. So Tosfos just makes that ha'ara over here in Dibra Maskel Rabba, that even though the Mishnah was said in that way, as if it's talking about one case, it doesn't really work out. What exactly is the machlokas over here between Abaye and Rav Ashi? Abaye said, nah, when you go from Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to worry. Keep all your menage Eretz Yisrael. When you go to Babel, Eretz Yisrael is better anyway. Whereas Rav Ashi said, no, there's no special dispensation for Eretz Yisrael, it all depends on daita lachzar or not. So Sfasemes explains that the nekudas hamachlokas is what they're arguing, what the reason is. They have to be knowing like the minig of the place that you come to. That Abaye holds that the whole issue to be mishan and minig hamakom is because of chashash machlokas. So he holds if you're going from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, you can be knowing minig Eretz Yisrael because no one's going to have machlokas, no one's going to argue with you if they know that you're coming from a place that's a higher place, that's a better place where people are more where the Dayanim were more powerful. And Rav Ashi holds, no, it has nothing to do with Machlokas, because if it were about Machlokas, it shouldn't matter whether it's Daito Lachzar or Ein Daito Lachzar. You shouldn't do differently than everybody else around you. The real reason is because Me'ikra Din, you're chayiv to be Noheg, like the Minhag HaMakom of where you are. It's just that he holds that the chayiv to be Noheg, Minhag HaMakom, is only if Ein Daito Lachzar. So that chayiv in general is only kicks in when you plan on staying. That's when you become a ben ha-makom who's now governed by the minhagim of that makom. So that's the nekudas ha-machlokas, says Sfasemes. What exactly the basis of the idea of accepting upon yourselves the chumras of the place that you go to really is? Is it about machlokas, or is it about just a rule in minhag that you have to accept upon yourself the minhag ha-makom? So Amalei Rabba Bar Bechana Lebreis. Now the Gemara discusses, what about you have a minhag that you're able to keep? Are your children who grew up in this new location, are they allowed to keep the same minhag that you had from Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Bar Bechana said to his son, Bani lo tochal, I eat the chalev ha-yeser, but you grew up here in Babel, you should not eat the chalev ha-yeser. Lo befanai, velo shelo befanai. Not in front of me, nor not in front of me. Anisha reisiyas Rabbi Yochanan, sho'achal, kedayu, Rabbi Yochanan, lismachalav, befanav, shelo befanav. I saw Rabbi Yochanan, I saw gadol hador like Rabbi Yochanan, being makel on this, and therefore I'm allowed to be makel both befanav and shelo befanav. Atah, lo reiso so. You didn't see Rabbi Yochanan eat the chalev ha-yeser, so lo tochal bein befanai, bein shelo befanai. You're not allowed to eat it, whether it's befanai or not befanai. So Rav Meisha in Dibros Moshe raises a fundamental question. In Dibros Moshe, Masechta Shabbos, Rav Meisha Feinstein asks, I understand, why can't he be somech on his father? He'll say, okay, I didn't see Rabbi Yochanan, but I saw you! So if I saw you, isn't that also good? I saw a gadol do this way. So Rav Moshe explains that this is this reveals to us a halacha in hora'a, in how hora'a works. When one issues a psak halacha, he says even someone who's higia la hora'a is only able to be machria and be mora, something that he's able to, that he's knowledgeable enough in the sugya that he can be machria based on his own learning and his own svara. But an area of halacha that he's not as proficient in, and that he doesn't feel he has the ability to be machria on his own, so then that's not called a hora'a. even if he's following great gedolim, meaning if I know that I this is what I do because I do it because my Rebbe did it, but I don't really understand the sugya so well, so that's not called a hora'ah, that's not called a psak halacha. So even though Rabbi Arbachan himself was a bal hora'ah, but on matters that he couldn't be machriya, he's not considered a bal hora'ah. Things that he couldn't, that he wasn't knowledgeable enough, he's not a bal hora'ah. So for Rabbi Arbachan, he had rishus to ask Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe, who was a bal hora'ah, about the Chalif HaYasar, what should I do? And when Rabbi Yochanan said, you're allowed to eat it, so then it becomes mutter, totally mutter for him. The Koach HaRa'ah of Rabbi Yochanan is going to help, even when Rabbi Yochanan is not around. But Rabbi Barbachana's son, who never saw Rabbi Yochanan eat it, so he never received the Hora'ah. He didn't get a Hora'ah from Rabbi Yochanan because he never met Rabbi Yochanan. He didn't get a Hora'ah from his father because his father is not a Baal Hora'ah. And therefore, just because his father did it, but he never received a Hora'ah to be Mekel, Hora'ah always is almost always used as an expression of kula, because it takes something to be makel, it takes strength to be makel. Sometimes we have hara al isr, but usually hara is the lashon of kula. So he didn't receive from a bal hara, so he's not allowed to be noeg heter. That's what Moshe Feinstein explains what's going on in this Gemara, why there's a difference between the father and the son. Now the Gemara later on is going to bring that Rabbi Akiva holds that Sfichim are Asr Ba'achila Min HaTorah after the Zman Abir. Sfichim is the aftergrowth of that which grows out in the field, the stubble that grows out in the field. So once the Zman Abir comes, the Sfichim are going to be Asr. So Sfichim, and the Gemara is going to say that Sfichim Karuv are Mutter Min HaTorah, they're not like the Sfichim of cabbage are not like other Sfichim, and there's going to be Machlokas Tanayim, what Rabbi Akiva holds, whether the Chamor goes there on Sfichim Karuv, or they were not gozer, and it's totally mutter even midrabanan, not only midaraisa but even midrabanan. So now the Gemara quotes Rabbi Barbar Chana about this machlokas tanaim as follows, where he does not seem to be consistent with what we just said from Rabbi Barbar Chana. Meaning Rabbi Barbar Chana just told this child, even though I'm mekel about the chelav ayeser, that's because I had a psak from Rabbi Yochanan. You can't be mekel, and yet upliga didei didei, Rabbi Barbar Chana seemed to give his child different instructions when it came to a different area of halacha as far as what he could be mekel on. Rabbi Rabbachana, Sachli Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar. Rabbi Rabbachana says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar told me, Pamachas nichnasti achar Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya Legina, that one time I followed Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya into a garden, v'natal svichei kruv, and he took the svichim of cabbage that grew during Shemitah, and that was after the Zman Abiyur, v'achal, and he ate it, v'nasan, and he gave me from those svichim. Va'amrli bini, and he gave me the following instructions. He said, "Befanai achol, shalom befanai lo tochal." When you're in front of me, you could eat this. When you're not in front of me, don't eat it. So Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya explained to Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar the difference between them, and he said, "Ani shirisi es Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai sha'achal kedai Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai lismochal befanav shalom befanav." I saw Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai eat the svichei kruv, so I'm somichanim bein befanav bein shalom. I'm always allowed to eat it. But Ata, you didn't see Rabbi Shimon do it. And therefore, you're only allowed to eat it in front of me, and not allowed to eat it not in front of me. So that's a stira in Rabbi Barbar Chana. Because when Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, from what Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar is saying, we see that even if he saw a minig heter from someone who's not ra'oi to give hora on it, and he was not matir based on his learning, he could be somech on him still, befanav, because he saw an Adam Gadol that did that way, even though the Adam Gadol didn't issue a hora'ah on that issue, because Rabbi Shimon ben Yosef ben Lekunya was matir for Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar to eat it in front of him, the svichei karuv, even though Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yosef ben Lekunya was not matir it based on a hora'ah, it was just based on his own practice, whereas Rabbi Barbar Chana told his child, no, if I didn't issue a hora'ah, you're not allowed to be matir it at all, not befanai and not shalom befanai. So the Gemara just leaves it at that it's a stira in whether the child is allowed to at least be matir Bifnei, his father, who was also matir, but his father didn't issue a hora'ah to be matir. So anyway, my Rabbi Shimon, where do we find that Rabbi Shimon holds, once we're on the topic of svichei kruv, so where do we find that Rabbi Shimon in fact holds that svichei kruv are mutter? So says Gemara Ditanya, because we have a brisa as follows, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol asvichim asurin chutz misvichei kruv, all vegetables, all the growth of vegetables that grow on their own without being planted during the Shemitah year is asur ba'achila from the Zman Abiyur and on, except for svichei kruv that grow during the Shemitah year, she'ein kayotzu ben beyarek v'sadeh, because there's nothing like cabbage in all the other vegetables that are out in the field. It's not kala l'chaya shebesados throughout the entire winter. There's always cabbage available. There's no point in the winter where it becomes unavailable. So mele, there is no zman biur for the kruv, because the zman biur during Shemitah is whenever it's kala l'chaya min asadeh. So it doesn't happen for the kruv. V'chamrom kala svichan asurim, that even svichei kruv are going to be asur. Meaning, even though the metzius may be true that it's not kala l'chaya min asadeh, but all svichei shvius, whatever growth happens on its own during Shemitah year after the zman biur, that is going to be asur. So the Gemara explains the machlokas is within the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, like we mentioned before, that vegetables that grow on their own, the svichei shvius, are asur b'achilim in haTorah after the biur. V'taravayu alibed Rabbi Kiva. They're both arguing within the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. Titanya, because the Braisa tells us, once the Torah tells me that you're not allowed to work the land during Shemitah, so the Pasuk says, oh, you're going to ask yourself, if I'm not allowed to work the land during Shemitah, how do I live? The Pasuk says, you can say, what am I going to eat during the Shana Shvius? So the Pasuk continues, Hein lo nizra v'lo nes sofes tvoseinu. What am I going to eat? I didn't plant and I didn't get to gather my grain. So you might ask, when you ask that question, what am I going to eat? But the way the Torah phrases it is, I didn't plant and I didn't gather. So I'm Rabbi Akiva. Why does it have to say that I didn't gather? Isn't that redundant? If you didn't plant, obviously you're not going to gather. There's nothing to gather if you didn't plant. So mehechan osvin. So mikan svichan shein asurin. Oh, you see from here that svichan are asur b'achila after the zman biur, and that's how you explain the pasuk that it's asur for us to be zoreya, and even that which I wasn't zoreya, that which grew on its own, is also asur. That you're also not allowed to gather. So it's nisa d'oraisa according to Rabbi Akiva. Svichim are asur on a d'oraisa level. So what's the machlokas between the Chum and Rabbi Shimon within Rabbi Akiva, specifically about svichei kruv, about svichim of cabbage? So b'maika miflgi, what are they arguing about? So Rabbanan savi gazrina svichei kruv atu shar svichei d'alma. What they're arguing about is that svichei kruv are never really kala l'chaya min asadeh. Mele, there's no zman abir for svichei kruv, and therefore, for sure, it's not included in the pasuk. Question is, did the Rabbanan come along and make a din d'Rabbanan that just like shar svichim arasar min haTorah, we're going to be gozer mid Rabbanan svichei kruv? So the Rabbanan hold that we make a gzeir of svichei kruv atu shar svichei d'alma atu all the other svichim that are asar min haTorah after the zman abir, even though there is no zman abir for cabbage because it stays throughout the entire winter. The Chum made a gezeira because otherwise people are going to come to be makel by other svichei shvius as well. For Rabbi Shimon Savar, lo gazrin svichei kruv atu svichei d'alma. And Rabbi Shimon says, no need for such a gezeira, and we just go with the din d'oraisa that shar svichei d'alma are asar mida oraisa, and svichei kruv are mutter because there's no zman abir, so there's no reason to be makel. Haholich makom. Then the Mishnah said that someone who goes from a place where they do malach on erev Pesach to a place where they don't do malach on erev Pesach in the first half of the day, or vice versa, he's got to take the chumras of both places. So, and then we said, and also lo yishan adam ne'am machlokas. Don't ever do anything different than the other people around you because of machlokas. So says Gemara, well, how do you reconcile those two? Bishlam olich makom shosin makom sheinosin. I understand very well if I'm going from a place where they do malacha to a place where they don't do malacha. So nosam chum makom shalach l'sham. So to take upon myself the chumra, that's the chumra of the place that I arrive at, that fits very nicely with val yishan adam ne'am machlokas. Then I'm not going to be veering from what the local custom is, so it's not going to cause any machlokas. V'lo lav, and I won't do any malacha. So that makes perfect sense. Ella, but what about the other case? Mimakom she'enos and mimakom she'osin. What about a case where I'm going from a place where they don't do malacha on Erev Pesach to a place where they do malacha on Erev Pesach? Al yishan adam ne'am machlokas. So we said don't do different because of machlokas. V'nevid, and then you should do malacha. But I'm not going to be shalom ne'am machlokas. I'm going to be doing malacha, but then you told me I have to take the chumras of all the place that I went from. Then I shouldn't do malacha. So what do you do in such a situation? So I'm two answers. Amar Abaye, Aresha. So Abaye answers first. Then when we say Al Yishan Adam Ne'am Achlokas, you're right. It's only going on a case where you go from a place where they do malacha to a place where they don't do malacha. That even though Mikra did, it's Mutar Basias Malacha. Don't do malacha because of machlokas. But in a chinami, in the case of the sefer, where you're going from a place that that they don't do malacha to a place that they do malacha, you have to be machmir. And even though it might cause some sort of machlokas, because meikra din, it's asr for you to do malacha. That's where you're coming from. You're coming from a place that's asr b'asiyas malacha, even though that's going to cause some machlokas. Whereas Rava says, no, Rava Amar Liolam Asefa. Really, when we say that you shouldn't be Mishanim Ibn Machlokas, it's even going on the Seifa. Vahachi Kamar. And what the Mishnah is telling us is as follows. Why is it that you could be Mishana from the Makam not do Malacha? Meaning, why is it that when you're going to a place where they do Malacha, you can continue the Chumrah of the place that you came from and not do Malacha, and you're not going to have to worry about Machlokas, even though you might think, oh, this is going to cause machlokas because I'm doing differently than everybody else. No, you're not going to have to worry about machlokas. Ein bazum epreshina machlokas. This is not going to cause an issue of machlokas. Why is it not going to cause an issue of machlokas? Because my kamrit. What are people going to say? Haroa omer malacha asura. That someone who sees that he's not doing malacha, he's going to say malacha asura. No, meimer amr kama batani have a bishuka. No one's going to see someone not working and say, oh, it must be that guy is so frum. He's acting as if it's an issue to do malacha. No, people can say nabuch. The person doesn't have any work to do. There are a lot of people that are out of work in the shuk, and even in that place themselves, there are lots of people that are not also malacha. So al yishan adam nei machlokas means don't be mishana from the minhag makom that you went from and do a malacha in order not to cause machlokas. Rather, al yishana and don't do malacha, because by not doing malacha, it's not going to cause machlokas. That's the al yishana adam nei machlokas, because in no way is this going to cause machlokas. People will just assume that you're one of the batlanim that are out there in the shuk. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up two lines from the bottom of the page on an aleph on the base.